Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, I think we can all agree that a white person putting on blackface for Halloween is not funny, not okay. I think we can also agree that dressing up as Hitler or having a swastika anywhere on your body for Halloween is inherently offensive. And the blackface thing, you'd think that people would know. But again, this year, it's been in the news because of Julianne Hough. She dressed up in blackface as the Crazy Eyes character from Orange is the New Black and has been getting flack for it in the press ever since. But what about dressing up like a geisha or a sushi chef? Is it okay only if you're Asian? Is it okay only if you're dressing up like a specific chef or geisha from history? Is it only offensive if you put makeup on that makes you have Asian eyes? What about a non-black person wearing a President Obama mask? Is that okay? Does the answer depend on how you behave while wearing that mask? What crosses the line and what brushes up against that line but is still okay? People everywhere are trying to figure it out. So because we are sure some of you are considering wearing potentially offensive costumes today, accidentally or on purpose, we will now offer you a service for the rest of the show. We have assembled a panel of three judges who will take your calls on your costume or your kid's costume, and they'll discuss and then issue a verdict on whether it's offensive. So call in 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The judges are Jeff Yang, contributor to the Wall Street Journal's Speakeasy blog, Cord Jefferson, the West Coast editor for Gawker, and Kendra Pettis, the television correspondent for Racialicious.com. Welcome back, Jeff, and welcome, Cord and Kendra. Hi.
Hello.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. And so what are your hard and fast rules? Let's go around real fast so we have time for a lot of calls. Jeff, where is there absolutely no wiggle room? I mentioned the blackface and swastikas. What else?
Yeah, well, I think race face in general is a bad idea. If you are going to make that magical transformation, Pokemon-like into another race, you should do it, at the best with psychology and not physiology. And generally speaking, anytime you're doing any kind of radical complexion change, physical feature alteration, one has to think of the implications for yourself, your family, and your friends.
Kendra, hard and fast rules?
Definitely, it's the race face, really, for me. It's completely okay to go as a character outside of your race, but I think the most recent example I think of is when I was at New York Comic Con this year, and we got really excited because we saw Indiana Jones with Short Round, because you never see a Short Round. And then we looked under Short Round's Yankees cap and realized that she had her eyes taped back.
Oh,
and
God.
It just ruined everything.
So the offensive thing about the Julianne Hough costume was not that she's white and dressed as a black character from Orange is the New Black. It was the blackface part of the costume
completely.
Per se.
Yeah, completely.
Cord, how about for you? Hard and fast rules?
I think I have to agree with everything that's already been said. And I think that anybody who is intending to dress outside of the race, I think that if you were to just build the costume without slanting your eyes or without painting your skin darker, I think that costume is just going to work just fine. I've seen many years during Halloween white people who dress up as Prince, and they dress the way that Prince would, and they wear a wig that Prince that resembles Prince's hair, and they don't paint their skin brown, and you still know that it's Prince, and the costume still works, and there's really no reason to go as far as darkening your skin if you're going to do something like that.
All right. Is your Halloween costume potentially racist or otherwise offensive, folks? 212-433-WNYC. And let's talk to Julie in Westchester. Julie, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. So my daughters and her friends, we live in Westchester, want to dress as they originally called them white girls, which is sweatpants, a certain kind of sweatshirt, and Starbucks coffee cups. And they thought that was greatly ironic and funny. And one mother said, that's racist. I don't want you to do it. So I just want to ask what your panel thinks.
And the race of these girls.
Sorry, she wants to change it down to Westchester girls, but the racism did come up.
May I ask the race of these girls?
All white.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I should say that by that definition, I'm actually dressed as a white girl right now with a Starbucks coffee cup. I'm not exactly sure where the racial dissent component of that comes from, since they are white girls who would be dressing as white girls, correct? It's more like a question of where's the costume. They don't wear this every day, presumably.
Yeah. So, Julie, thank you. And Kendra, I guess that raises a generalizable question of, is it okay to make fun of something racial in a costume if you are of that race?
Well, I think that with the white girl's costume, the word racism doesn't even necessarily come into play, because you can't be racist against the establishment, essentially. Racism is a factor of power. So there really is no racism going on.
So are you taking that old controversial position that nobody can be racist against white people because they have too much power to be affected by it?
In a way, yes.
Okay, so that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. But let's go to a whole other caller. Donna on Long Island. Hi, Donna. You're on WNYC.
So? I saw my daughter yesterday. She's 21 years old. She's in college. And she told me that she's going to be Jesus for tomorrow night's party. And it just sat with me the wrong way. And I'm sitting here going, I can't believe she's doing that. She's going to, you know, put blood on her hands and on her side. And, oh, isn't this going to be great? And I'm just having a problem with it.
So, Donna, don't go away. We're going to put a caller on with you, because I think Mark in Wall has a son in college who goes even further. Mark, are you there?
My son is a history major, and they had like, as part of the history club, they had to like dress up as zombies from historical figures. So his friend was a zombie Abraham Lincoln, and he decided to be a zombie Jesus.
And do you have a problem with this?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Does anybody? Is he worried about getting blowback?
Oh, not at all. It's like, it's rather sophomoric. He's a sophomore, and I think it's being rather sophomoric.
If you can't be a sophomoric when you're a sophomore, when can you? Donna, do you have a problem with that as much as your own daughters?
I got to tell you that I think that if she were zombie Jesus, it would sit a little better with me, because she was going to the extreme. But and maybe that's where she's going with it. But she told me, I think, also for a shock, you know, just to shock mom, you know, because she knows I'm sort of religious and that she's so not religious. But I don't think she's going the zombie route.
All right, Donna and Mark, thank you very much. And Cord, there's an interesting distinction. If you're going sort of semi-earnestly as Jesus, it's not okay. If you're so making fun that you're going as zombie Jesus, then maybe it is okay. Does that make any sense to you?
No, actually not to me. I don't see a distinction there, and I don't think that either of those costumes are would be particularly offensive to me. I'm not a very religious person at all, but I think that we have so much religious iconography. People wear crucified Jesus around their necks every day. Millions of Americans do that. And I think to go out dressed as that figure if you're offended by that, I think that seems a bit silly to me. But as I said,
what if it was zombie Muhammad?
To me, I'm not a religious person, yeah. And that would be.
But Jeff, so you're making your ooh, that's a hot button face.
Well, it's a hot button because I think that it really comes down to what the audience or a potential audience of what you're doing is going to interpret your gesture as. I think the word shock was used by Donna, and I think that a lot of these costumes that try to play with the boundaries of what's acceptable are literally intended to shock and not in that sort of, you know, boo Halloween way, but more in that sort of let's get on the cover of a publication and be blogged about way, kind of. And I think that, you know, on some level, how is it that different to be Muhammad or Jesus or Thor, God of Thunder? But there is a difference. I mean, there is a large and significant believership of the first two, and it you know, could cause problems.
Jack in Milford, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jack.
Hi. Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. My friend and I went as a teen costume, and we did something kind of retro. And for the young people, we went as the Frito Bandito and a bag of corn chips. And back, I guess, in the 60s and 70s, for Frito-Lay's Fritos, the icon was the Bandito, and it kind of looked like Eli Wallach, you know, in The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
So here we go, Cord. Is it okay because he's going as a particular – he's a white guy going as a particular Mexican from history, or
– I would say that, in my view, is offensive because that particular Mexican in history was an offensive stereotype. We're talking about a Frito-Lay depiction of a Mexican person in the 60s. It wasn't very sensitive, and I understand that it is a character from history, but it's still an offensive character from history. It's almost going as the Lone Ranger's sidekick. I'm forgetting his Tonto.
Tonto is a
figure from history, but it's also an offensive figure from history.
And from a recent movie. Does that make it more okay?
Where in fact, red face was used. So.
I would say no.
Any dissension, panel?
No, I would generally agree. It was a caricature. It's sort of like if you reinvoked, I don't know, Speedy Gonzales and went as him. We know why that character was removed from Frito-Lay, and we know that there was a reason behind it. So why bring that back up?
Chris, so go at your own risk, Jack. Chris in Harrison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling because I dress in a sari. I love Indian clothes. I went to Newark Avenue in Jersey City this week, and the people are just so friendly, and I'm an anthropology major and with a focus on India, and I appreciate the fact that the clothes are just so beautiful. And
but are you wearing a
sari?
So you're not Indian, but are you wearing a sari just in your regular life, or are you wearing one as a Halloween costume?
I wear the sari as a Halloween costume, but I regularly wear kurtas and Indian type clothes to work, because I just think they're just so beautiful.
So,
and when I go to Jersey City, it seems like the people are nice and they don't mind that I'm buying these clothes.
Uh-huh. So that's one kind of gesture maybe, but when you're wearing it as a costume on Halloween, what are you going as?
Just because it's going to the extreme, I guess. Because normally I wouldn't, you know, wearing a sari is not an easy thing to put on.
Kendra, your face is telling me you have an opinion about this.
I think Bindi and that, but it's only out of respect, not because I'm making fun of it.
Uh-huh.
I think in general, a good rule of thumb to go by is to not dress as something that another group of people might get ridiculed for or pushed down for, any sort of discrimination against that they cannot take off. That's skin color, that's cultural clothing, that's any sort of part of another culture that they are going to get held down for, that you can just take off at the end of the day and go about your business and not face any repercussions for it because it's for one day.
So you're not down with Chris, even though it sounds like she wears a sari on other occasions and has, you know, integrated into her wardrobe, even though she's not Indian.
I think what kind of pushed it over the edge for me was the Bindi factor, which has been an issue ever since, I mean, probably before Gwen Stefani, but at least in my my remembrance, it's really Gwen Stefani.
So, Jeff, I think, and Chris, thank you so much. This brings up that geisha thing that's been in the news, or the sushi chef question. You know, Pottery Barn pulled those costumes because an Asian American civil rights group complained that they were offensive. And I have a friend who was offended, who's Latino, who was offended by somebody who dressed up in Mexican clothing. And she asked, well, what are you going as? Well, I'm going as a Mexican. So that's like sort of like going as an Indian. But again, you get into the particular stereotyping that a geisha costume represents.
Right.
Or what if somebody was going as a particular geisha from history?
Well, you know, this is where it gets very complicated, right? Are you dressing as a profession? Are you dressing as a race? Are you dressing as a historical figure? Are you dressing as somebody you happen to know? My best friend is a geisha. I want to be a geisha too. You know, there are so many layers of this sort of thing. And I think there are contexts that need to be framed around this. You know, even the question about wearing a sari to a party. As soon as you go to a party and you're doing, you know, keg stands and acting out or whatever it is that you do at hot anthropology parties, there's automatically going to be a reframing of whatever you're wearing from this is a respectful homage to a culture to this is my party gear and I'm just, you know, ripping it up now. So there will be people who from the outside, not knowing your context, probably think you're not being particularly respectful.
I will note that keg stands have now come up in our Affordable Care Act segment today and our Halloween segment. How about the sushi chef? You mentioned professions as a category. Any better?
You know, that's actually a little harder for me. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who's one of the people behind that campaign, and I did not find the sushi chef itself to be offensive. I think in part because I'm living in New York, I've eaten sushi from so many different people who are not, in fact, Japanese, and obviously not. It is a profession. It's something where you can learn to be a sushi chef, kind of hard to learn to be Japanese in the same way. So I think that as long as the person wearing it is wearing it and clearly not trying to represent that they're a Japanese sushi chef, I don't see how it's a problem.
One more. Chris in Westchester. You're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hey there.
You're dressing your kid as?
As a terrorist.
Which terrorist?
Well, so just crop the hair short, make him look a bit like Timothy McVeigh.
So you're dressing your kid as Timothy McVeigh?
Well, I'm not going to introduce him as Timothy McVeigh. It's for a pretty specific point with some family members. So I'll just keep it vague, say terrorist, and then let the conversation unfurl from there. But I don't know. I think it's very different to dress him as the individual Timothy McVeigh rather than introducing him as a terrorist and letting us get to that point.
But white terrorist. Cord, we have 10 seconds left. You down with this?
I mean, I think it's certainly offensive. It's provocative. I would ask if your child is old enough to talk. I would ask him if he wants to go as somebody who killed a lot of people. And if your child says yes, then I guess maybe let him do it. But I'm not sure if that's really your child's decision or if it's your decision.
Chris gets our Halloween Weirdness Award for 2013. We thank Jeff Yang, Cord Jefferson, and Kendra Pettis for being with us on Halloween and talking about what's racist, what's otherwise offensive. Folks, make your own judgment. Trick or treat. Thanks to you all.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. No consolations, please. I'm feeling funky. I gotta get my head above my knees. But it makes me mad and it makes me sad. And then I start to freeze. In the back of my mind, I was afraid it might be true. In the back of my mind, I was afraid that they meant you. The Halloween Parade.